may be seated. Our kids, you may come forward as we will dismiss you to Kids Connection. Pre-K through 8th grade, right? Yes. All right. And so when we dismiss, then we do it with sign language as well. So congregation, we will be saying, "The Lord be with you," and they will return the sign of "and also with you." All right. The Lord be with you. All right, we'll see you in a little bit. Such energy, such life, such exuberance, it makes me jealous some days. And as we are coming to God, we're going to turn our and open our Bibles up to Matthew chapter 5. We'll be in this chapter, well, chapter 6 too, for the next couple weeks. And then we'll start a new series, and that new series is going to be entitled Anchored in God's Word. And we'll be structuring it around the book entitled Taking God at His Word by, by Kevin DeYoung. And I don't mean to sound scary, but I don't know how else to really frame this, but it's theology about Scripture. So what we'll be looking at is what do we believe about the Word of God and how does it impact our life today than about our beliefs about what it is? Because for us in the church here, it is not just a book, it's not just a story. It is the actual words of God. God breathed out Scripture is what Timothy tells us. And so we'll be looking at then those aspects of Scripture and how it impacts our life at the end of September. Attached to that little plug is also, if you are willing to be a leader, I'd like to meet with you next Sunday after the service so that we can kind of hash out some of the details about when you would like your group to meet, and I will also give you a printed out study guide. The study guide is free. The books will be provided by the church, and we'll have signups for that next week. So please be looking for that. All right, now that was ample time for you to find Matthew chapter 5. And as we go to the Word, may we receive it with open hands and open hearts. So, Lord, speak to us this morning. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your neighbors, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Indeed, thanks be to God. He is good and gracious. Jay, I really appreciated your prayer this morning, especially the beginning part. I can hear the workbook influence coming forth, living, knowing the living God, which is another plug. You're welcome to come out this evening at 7 p.m. Join us. You can join in the middle, because each of our weeks are not connected. Well, they're connected, but don't build upon the other. So you can start in the middle. So come on out at 7 p.m. I can hear that in that prayer, and I was so encouraged to know this living God who is merciful and gracious and just and righteous and holy. And we go down the list, and it's so important to continually hold this before us and to continually plumb the depths of them, which are immeasurable. So we're never going to get to the point in which we have a handle on God's holiness or his righteousness or his justice. So if we're here this morning, if you're watching and viewing online and you say to yourself, oh, well, I've read the Bible already, what more do I need to do? Well, once is good, twice is better. A dozen times is getting closer to good. And because that depth is never going to be plumbed. And we have eternity to continue to unravel and to prod the mystery that is the unknowable God making himself known. And I say that all in the introduction here because we're looking at another difficult command of Jesus for the life of the disciple. And I want to start in Romans chapter 5, verses 10 through 11. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I highlight this verse in an introduction of who God is because of his demonstration, his grace and love and compassion and mercy in each one of our lives here this morning. We all started in the same place with God, and that is enemies to him. I like this text because it makes it clear. There are other texts in chapter 5 that says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, which is a fantastic verse. But we see sinner and it kind of gets lost. Yeah, someone who messes up. But here, Paul elaborates upon that and he calls us enemies of God. It's not that we just messed up. It's that we were rebellious and against God. We were his enemy. And how did he treat each one of us then? He treated us with grace and forgiveness. He treated us as his own. And that's what he made us. So now Jesus is instructing those that he has called to himself to do the same. This is probably one of the more familiar texts in Scripture, right? If someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the left. And Jesus is not promoting that all of his followers be doormats in which people just come and walk all over. And I say that with surety because we have begun watching and seeing this model of life in Jesus, and Jesus was by no means a doormat. No one walked over Jesus. He has also, though, demonstrated for us what it means to receive the hostility and not be crushed by it. And I was thinking about, well, okay, so what kind of example do I use here? And the first one that came to mind actually was the Boston Robotics. Have you seen these clips of these robots? They are remarkable. They are. But time and time again, it doesn't matter what shape it is, and it doesn't matter what context is happening. The first or the second thing that comes into the mind of the tester is, can I knock it over? You see them coming up there and giving them a push or trying to swipe out their legs, and you see the robot kind of do a little dance and rebalance itself, and it still just stands there. So when I'm thinking about this particular piece of Jesus' call upon his people, his command to take on the hostility, for me it has that kind of imagery, being pushed and then back to doing exactly what I was supposed to be doing. Following in the steps of Jesus. Which is uncomfortable. And it's painful. And for a time, it is unjust. And I say for a time. Because we live now in the patience of God. Scripture tells us, you know, we may see God as slow, but really he is patient so that none may come to condemnation, but all might be saved. We live now in the patience of God, which is a suspension of his justice. There will come a time in which humanity will get what they deserve. The full justice of God will be revealed at the end. But as Jesus says, and quoting, paraphrasing some scripture here, that the rains fall on the just and the unjust, that God's blessing resides on both the evil and the good. So in this, we bear the hostility of the world. And this should come as no surprise to us unless this is your first Sunday with us. Because we started here, with Jesus' Beatitudes. And two times in those Beatitudes, he says, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to live in hostility. You are going to have enemies. So he's calling us then to not return evil for evil, as he says, but return evil for good. Which is not the just eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. And there's a part of me that wonders, maybe, Jesus, did you just misspeak a little bit? Because I want justice. I want things to be made right. I want the disproportions to be equaled. And I want the hurt that has been inflicted on me to receive its full payment internally. And I think that that isn't all bad. And the reason I say that is because I believe that it is a reflection of God's image. We serve a just God. He is righteous and will make everything right in its time. And so we wrestle and we battle with this grace and mercy and justice and righteousness and the wondrous and glorious fantastical reality of this living God. But Jesus continues on in his declaration of, okay, so you're living in a world that is hostile to you. What do you do in it? Well, you love your enemy. And it's not just loving your enemy, but then he starts laying stuff out like, you pray for them. You give them extra. You walk and go the extra mile. I'll break here. There's a little cultural nuance to this fun little phrase. You see, in the Roman Empire, one of the regulations was that if a Roman soldier came to you and told you that you must carry his pack, his stuff, you were required to do that for a mile. What Jesus is saying is, when your suppressors come to you and demand that you help them, you do it with a glad heart, and you do extra. And so, when Jesus frames this for us to structure our life around, I looked at it and I said, "Well, that's wonderful, Lord, but I don't really have any enemies. I don't have soldiers coming into my life and demanding that I carry their pack for them for a mile. I don't have people who are excluding me from market transactions, going out and going to the store, Target, you know. I walk in, I find the stuff I need, I pay, and I walk out. But as I was contemplating this and prayerfully considering what God has for me and for us this week, my news feed started going off. And it became painfully evident that today we find ourselves in a time of divisiveness. I remember preaching on this text years ago, and the cute illustration was two rival sports teams. We had them in Iowa, right? And then they become our enemies for that day. That's about as divisive as we got 7 years ago. And then we come to the pandemic, and leading up to that, you can see, or I could see, a ramping of these, setting one group against the other across the board. Republicans against Democrats, liberals against conservatives, race against race. It didn't matter what race you were. We were just finding enemies for you. And I'd like to say that we're talking about what we were doing 70 years ago, but the reality was it's been yesterday. It's like we're feeding our hatred. And it's not really just any, it's not really hatred directed necessarily at something. It's just everything. So when I ask myself, okay, self, so what enemies do you have? A lot. Not ones that I would want and consider to be called enemies, but ones that have certainly started being antagonistic and playing the part of enemy towards me. So whatever camp you're in, you're having the same experience. No matter what your political background is, no matter where you grew up, the whole world seems to find themselves in the place of everyone is an enemy. who isn't part of your group. That might be a desperate situation, and it is for many, but it is not for us. It is a fertile environment to express and to practice what Jesus has done in our lives. No one wants to come up to you and demand that you vote for Trump or Kamala, or I guess those are really the two right now. And instead of stepping into that argument about which leader is the better of the leaders, because neither are good, instead, we can ask the important question: how are you and Jesus? Yes, the leader of our country is important, and we can have those discussions. But in those conversations, that's not really what it's about. And it hasn't been for years. So in those conversations, we have opportunity to offer something good, something better. And I can guarantee you they will not like that response. I am convinced that there is no more dangerous question to ask than the question, how are you in Jesus? But it is the most important question to ask. So you're going to receive then all of that hostility. And as Jesus instructed, practiced, and showed us, like the robot, we pushed and here we are back again. No, really. I care about who you are. About your relationship with Jesus, because that's the only relationship that really matters. It's eternal. If you don't have one, let's start there. It's filled with bad experiences. Let's go to those bad experiences. But let us keep the main thing so that the center of our lives continually moves to Jesus. And when that happens, there really is no pushing us over or walking on us, over us. There really is no hostility that becomes too much to bear. Because it's not in our strength, and it's not in our ability, and it's not in our knowledge. It is and completely resides in the dependence we have on Jesus. Again, as Jay mentioned in his prayer, we're coming into the combustible political environment of a new election. Filled with very large distractions, I would encourage us to see it as an opportunity to live out what Jesus is calling his disciples, you and me together, in this Sermon on the Mount. Isn't that remarkable? Because this is a 2,000-year-old sermon. So let us let the truth of Jesus continue to transform our hearts and our words and our conversations and our relationships, so that we might come to the place and continually grow into Because it is promised. It is promised in Philippians that he who began a good work will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And what is that completion? It is here in the last part of our text. And that is to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. We're not living into the expectation that each one of us will arrive at that tomorrow. Unless Jesus invites us into his holy presence in heaven, or he returns. But we are committed as believers and followers of Jesus Christ daily to continue to move and make progress toward the goal of reflecting our God more and more and more every day. Living on the assurance of all of his promises coming to fulfillment in their time. Would you join with me in prayer? Lord, we are living testimonies of the fulfillment of your promise. And that promise is that the world would know you, that you would save your people by your mighty right hand, and you have done so, Lord. You, Jesus, making those that were unloved, loved, and those that were not a people, your people, making your enemies, Lord, your family. This is who you are, and this is the family that we belong to. So I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would continue to work in us the reconciliation, the peacemaking, the strength, Lord, to endure the hostility, to proclaim you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior, to point to you, to glorify your holy name. Amen. If you're able, please stand and we'll sing. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Receive the Lord's blessing this morning. The Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.